Today is Saturday, May 2nd, 2015, and we are interviewing Larry Franklin at the library. Mr. Franklin is 57 years old and was born on August 28th, 1957. My name is Jacob Goodman, and I will be the interviewer. Mr. Franklin is my coworker, and he is going to share with us some tips on college, the life after college with both chemistry, and why he moved to the IT side of his career, and also how the information technology field has developed from 30 years ago to today. Let's start off with you got your bachelor's degree in chemistry, correct?
That's right, Jacob. I went to college right out of high school. I had an interest in chemistry and biology, and had thoughts of going into the biochemistry field. As I went through my college career learning chemistry, I kind of moved toward more of an analytical chemistry side. When I graduated with a bachelor's degree in chemistry, I got a job in a small laboratory in Columbia, Missouri called ABC Laboratories, and I was an analytical chemist for 5 years. I enjoyed it, but there were some nasty chemicals that we used, and so I parts of the job I really enjoyed, parts of the job I didn't. A lot of paperwork. When you do any type of laboratory work, especially back in the old days before computers, we had to track everything in lab notebooks. So about that time, this was the late 70s, early 80s, about that time was when personal computers came into being. IBM brought out the personal computer in 1982, I believe. At the laboratory, we had an opportunity to get a couple of, they called them portable computers at the time. They weighed about 50 pounds. Nothing like the laptops we have today. But I had the opportunity to learn some programming. But let me back up a little bit. When I was in college, I did take a couple of computer programming classes, but we used punch cards to write the programs. Have you ever seen a punch card?
Yeah, my dad has talked about it before. Okay.
So I used punch cards in college. The mainframe computers of those days probably had about a tenth of the computing capacity as our phones have these days. So you really had to be efficient in writing your code. So anyway, back to the story. At the laboratory, we had an opportunity to get these portable computers, and since I had an interest in it, I learned how to write some fairly simple programs at the time to interface these computers with a couple of analytical instruments they had. One instrument was called a scintillation counter. It measured the amount of radioactivity in various samples. So let's say we were doing a test on how much of a pesticide, for example, is absorbed by fish in a pond. Mm-hmm. So we would do a test where the radioactive version of that chemical was added to the fish's water. Then we would take the fish and grind them up and sample them and extract the radioactive chemical and see how much of the chemical remained in the organism's tissues.
Okay.
So this machine would do that, and I interfaced one of these computers to this machine to capture that data and output the results. And so that was kind of my start in the IT field. I got more and more interested in computers at that point, and ended up going back to graduate school in business administration, but with an emphasis in information technology. I think we called it information management at the time. IT was a later term that came. And I actually left the company, went to grad school full time for a year. After I received my graduate degree, I went back to the same company. They hired me back to kind of start the laboratory information systems at that company. And so we purchased some computer equipment and some specialized software that was, since this was pretty early on in the field, it was fairly simple, didn't have a whole lot of capabilities, but mm-hmm. it was all we had at the time.
Yeah.
But this was 1985, and over the next 5 years, we developed that system at ABC Labs to essentially capture all of the data from all of the scientific instruments in the laboratory, all of the analytical instruments. And it helped the chemists be more productive.
Yeah.
They didn't have to track everything by hand. It
yeah.
Helped as far as the federal government. We were EPA and FDA regulated,
uh-huh.
and so that helped with the tracking of the paperwork and all of the regulatory requirements, and it was an interesting process.
Quick question about, you worked in the same company but two different fields, so to say.
Correct.
So maybe describe what a day was like in the chemistry side of the business, and maybe what a day was like in the more IT field.
Okay.
In that business.
Sure. When I was a chemist, most of the time was spent in the laboratory. We were responsible for washing the glassware that we had to use.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get all traces of chemicals that might interfere with the processes we were doing out of the glassware. So that was
mm-hmm.
very important. We would, as I kind of discussed, we would sample various environmental tissues for the chemicals. It might be grinding up a fish, it might be pulling a sample of water, it might be digging some dirt out of the ground in one of the fields, all sorts of various types of sampling. Then we would process that. Certain chemicals would be, what's the word I'm trying to think of? This may have to be edited a little bit. certain types of chemicals were dissolved in certain types of solvents, I'll say.
Yeah.
So we might use one solvent for one type of tissue, a different solvent for a different type
uh-huh.
of tissue. So anyway, then we would use different type of chemical instruments, scientific instruments, to separate the compounds so that we would see what the concentration of the compound we were looking for. We compare that to known sample sizes.
Okay.
So it was fairly routine. Where I worked, we were a contract laboratory, so we did a lot of testing for some of the major chemical manufacturers of the time. This was kind of the time frame when the EPA was getting a lot more involved in regulating pesticides and herbicides as well. When I moved to the IT side, early on I spent a fair amount of time programming. I ended up needing to document all of these programs because the programs themselves were regulated by the EPA and FDA.
Mm-hmm.
We had to meet certain requirements because somebody could go in and maybe write a program to fake the data. So.
Yeah.
Didn't want to do that, obviously, because this is safety that we're talking about
yeah.
here. So, it's the IT field. It's just amazing too how much it's grown over the past 30 years. As I said, and when I first started working was when personal computers first came out, and just the exponential increase in capacity of storage devices and speed of processors is just amazing. What we can do with the Apple Watch, for example.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's probably got hundreds of times the computing power of some of the mainframes
yeah.
back in the day. So,
I mean, obviously, your job would have had to develop with the development of the ability for information to travel faster and for computers to hold more of that. Did you kind of learn on the job, on the go, or were there, like, maybe you went back to college or anything like that to continue to relearn things that?
Yeah, that's one of the appealing things to me about the IT field. It's changing so much. It's constant learning, and I enjoy learning. Back in the old days, we didn't even have manuals online. We had stacks of shelves holding hard copy manuals. I had an office at one place that I worked that had probably as many books as we have in this section of the library, just because we had the hard copy manuals. But yeah, it's a constant learning thing. I had the opportunity when in the middle 1990s, when I started to learn how to use the Oracle database system. There's the two major database vendors are Microsoft with SQL Server and Oracle with its database. Uh-huh. There are a few others, but those are the two main ones. So I went to Oracle training classes. Various other technologies, yeah, there are companies out there that all they do is train for IT. Mid-Continent Public Library has online databases. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm actually looking for a certification in computer security right now. Mm-hmm. I was able to use my library card here at Mid-Continent Public Library and use those research databases and online training guides, so I didn't have to go buy them. So that's one of the cool things about the library.
That's cool
as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a constant learning. It really is. Even if it's not in the IT field, if it's in a scientific field, that's a little more of a static field, but still people are doing research all the time, and new processes come into play for testing, you know, things like that. It's always going to be a constant learning. And if you enjoy learning, you're going to be so much further ahead of the game as you get older.
Well, you're kind of a classic example of someone who thought they wanted to do one thing and then really changed it. So what advice would you give to us high schoolers who are some of us are procrastinating and others are just plain out struggling on what we want to do? So what advice would you have for the people that maybe even have their mindset on something but don't know for sure? What is what's some advice for high schoolers as we move into college? And
well, this is true not just for college but for life in general, for your career. Things change. You may change your mind. You may find that what you originally thought you would enjoy, you might not. But my advice is to decide as soon as you can what you think you might want to go into. Mm-hmm. I felt like I knew early on that I wanted to go into a field of science. In a way, once I got into that field, I had an opportunity to move a different direction, but that was because of the opportunity that I had in my original field. It was an expansion of it, or an addition to it, I guess, if you want to think of it that way. But be flexible. Things change. Try to experience as many different things, especially if you're not sure. Try to get some sort of experience in different things, and it might, you know, one experience might point you one direction that you decide you want to go into. I grew up in a very small town, a very small high school. I would think that Liberty and some of the larger school systems around here probably have a lot of resources to help you out and help you kind of help guide you.
Yeah.
That's what the guidance counselors are for, I assume. So.
We always have to do surveys and things like that really help us.
Yeah. And you probably even have the opportunity to take college level classes, which I didn't have 40 years ago.
But
be flexible. And one other thing that I think is important, some people, when they go to college, they really, really need to concentrate on their academics, which is fine. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I personally feel like college is an experience. You need to have a whole life experience and enjoy, especially that time of your life, because you're going to look back on that and enjoy the social aspect of it as well. Personally, I was involved in music as well as intramural sports, and I took time to enjoy or to do the things that I enjoyed in addition to studying. Yeah, studying took a lot of time, but once you get out of college, that's all gone, man. You get into the working world, and especially if you get married, have kids, sometimes you don't have time to do anything. So when you have the time, do things you enjoy.
Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, do you have anything else you'd like to talk about? Or?
No, I think our time is gone.
All right.
Thank you, Jacob.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for sharing your life with us. It's really helpful for someone in high school that's really last few years of freedom and going to be on to the workforce soon. It's always nice to hear opinions and really helpful things that have happened to other people that I can utilize and enjoy college.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jacob.